This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Ahead of the convocation for the 2025-26 UMBC graduating class, CIFA Radio had the opportunity to interview Tekle Nation Hereditary Chief Mary Teegee, who also holds the position of Carrier Sakani Family Services Chief Administration Officer of Child and Family Services. As one of this year's honorary degree recipients at the ceremonies, she's being awarded an honorary Doctorate of Laws degree from the University of Northern British Columbia. Mary Teegee has served as an advocate for culture, children, and families for over 20 years at Carrier Sakani Family Services, and prior to that served as Chief Negotiator and Deputy Chief for Tekle Lake First Nation. Mary Teegee has stood on and stood in front of many stages and podiums over her ongoing career and has been interviewed by CIFA Radio before, as have many other news outlets in the region and the country, primarily due to her tireless advocacy and continuous efforts related to the Highway of Tears and missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit peoples. On these occasions, though, we don't get the opportunity to ask these prominent public figures about what makes them who they are and what drives them forward. This conversation was that opportunity. Here's Mary Teegee joining us over the phone on CFUR 88.7 FM. Congratulations to all the grads and to you, Ms. Teegee. Thank you very much for joining us over the phone today.
Thank you very much.
You've dedicated much of your life and your working life towards your passion of helping people. You're addressing a lot of issues in our community through the efforts that you do. And I feel as though this doctorate is a reflection of that. Do you feel that way? How do you feel that this reflects into the lifetime of advocacy and work that you have done?
First of all, you know, I just really want to thank UNBC and the ones that nominated me for this really prestigious honor. It's an honor I don't take lightly. I think, to be recognized for the work that I've done, it's humbling. But first and foremost, I always say this, you know, once you're born First Nations, you're born into politics. I mean, we're born into a world of injustice. We've been born into a world of colonization and, just the impact of residential school. And certainly at a very young age, with the teachings from both my mother and my father, the importance of justice, the importance of ensuring that the discrimination ended, all of these things really has led me to my life's path, I guess, and to be recognized for that work, as I said, it's quite humbling.
If you were to look back to yourself as a young woman starting out and your career, did you ever have any inkling at all that you'd really be recognized for any of the hard work that you would do, let alone receiving a doctorate? You know, this is an exciting development.
Well, I think, you know, you're coming from a small little community. You don't really think of anything like that. It's not why we ever did this. I think anybody in my family, my dad would always say, basically, too much that he's been given, much is expected. And you know, we were fortunate that we did get an education, that we all graduated from high school, and we all went on to post-secondary. And certainly, my father instilled in us that sense of justice, a sense of right. And my mother, she's a hereditary chief herself, talking about how we have to conduct ourselves as leaders, how we should be, and that we are in service to our people, first and foremost. So to be recognized for something that I had to do, that was a gift from the Creator, it doesn't seem right to be recognized for something that I think that it was just our calling, just our role in this life. So I attribute anything that I've done, any successes that I've had to my parents, to my family, and to my son. And so it's humbling. And I guess, from Western viewpoint, having a doctorate means something. And so for me, I'm committed to using this honor to further the work, to further the advocacy, and to be a voice for those that don't have one.
You touch on this a little bit. Maybe we can expand on it a bit as well. But in a lot of ways in our society and, you know, our Western influenced culture, we look at people who have, you know, doctorate degrees or some kind of qualification. We point to them and say like, oh, there, now that's a leader. Those are leaders. Those are the smart or the educated people who are qualified to do this work. But perhaps speaking from your own experience, where did leadership actually start for you? And, you know, in your assessment, what qualifications does it really take to be a leader in one's community or age group or demographic? Where do you feel like the qualities or qualifications of leadership actually come from?
Well, I think it comes first and foremost from how you were raised and understanding your role in the community at large, understanding your history and where you come from and the land that you come from. That's where leadership starts. I know my mother as a hereditary chief, my dad, also in my dad's line, you know, we're coming from a role of chief. So there is an expectation that you're going to be in a leadership role just because of where we come from. And so I think it started at a really young age. Not that I thought I was going to be a leader, but I was just kind of bossy, I think, at a young age. I also just saw the injustice. And I think that's what put the fire in my belly, is that I wanted to right the wrongs. You know, when I saw millions and millions of dollars of logs going through our territory, and yet my people were living in poverty, it pissed me off. And then so there's something that compels you. You know, we all experienced, certainly I did, experience racism in school, at the Catholic school, in the public school. I was one of the only First Nations women or girls to graduate from high school, for example. When I went on to college, I was the only First Nations student in my college class. And then, of course, I went on to university in Calgary for a bit. And again, I was the only First Nations person. So it takes a lot of perseverance and strength to go through all of that. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without the love and the support of my mom, my dad, my brothers, and my sisters. And so when you look at leadership, leadership is really, for us as Indigenous people, we see leadership as being in service to the people. It's just a certain role that the Creator has given us, and it's up to us if we're going to take on that role. And I was fortunate to be in places that allowed me to be able to speak our truth and my truth.
I feel relevant to that. There was an earlier press release to announce that you will be receiving this doctorate. And within that release, there's a quote. My goal has always been to support the reformation of child and family services so that First Nation children are protected, taken care of by their own families, and have the freedom to live up to their full potential. And then it continues, when children are grounded in their identity and culture, they have the foundation they need to thrive. And I'm wondering, does the designation of this doctorate in law, do you feel it will be able to leverage that goal and the work you've been doing to further make an impact? Or does it tie in at all? Do you feel like this is something that will influence your path moving forward in that regard?
Of course, I think anything that Western societies, and even, well, I got to say, our own people, if it's something that our people look to and that they're proud of, you know, that I'm holding this doctorate, absolutely, that's going to help. I think one of the things within our nations is, you know, the pride of one is the pride of all. So taking that really seriously, you know, the work that we have to do, you know, I'm going to do it regardless if I have credentials behind my name. I'm going to knock doors down. I'm going to be in places where we were not normally in places, and you know, we're going to be in the halls of government, we're going to be in these places, and I will continue to do the work I'm doing. But it is nice to have, I guess, because again, it's just that little bit more perhaps prestige, if you will, to get into those places. So whatever, you know, I like, at the end of the day, it's just I'm always just going to be me. I'm just going to be Mary TG. I'm going to be from Tekla Nation, and I'm going to be daughter of William and Sarah TG. That comes first. And Dixon, I'm Carrier, that always comes first. And so what I could hope for with this is that, you know, another young little First Nations girl or one little Tekla girl or whatever can see that, oh, that I've achieved this, that they know that they can do it too.
The designation, although it's rooted in, you know, Western culture and academia and so on, it is a symbol that could further your cause. And you articulated that really well. Thanks so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Dr. TG, is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you would like people to know?
And I kind of giggle at that, Dr. TG. I think for me, I still feel like not deserving. I think about my mom. She spoke 5 different languages, First Nation language, English being her 5th. She was raised in the bush. She knew about medicines. She was brilliant. And, you know, and she's just passed in September. And to me, this doctorate really is hers. It's my mom's, and it should have been Dr. Sarah TG.
Thanks for sharing that. That's really important to know.
Mm-hmm.
For a more lighthearted question, just from the angle of being a college radio station surrounded by music and pop culture,
uh-huh.
You participated in and produced a documentary a little while ago, For Love. That was narrated by Shania Twain. And
yeah.
I've got to ask, did you get to meet Shania Twain in the process of that?
Yes, I did. I went down to Las Vegas, and I actually was supposed to meet her on May 10th, and I just couldn't make it to L.A., but she's a wonderful person, big-hearted. She's wonderful. Yes, I have met her, talked to her on the phone. I get asked that quite often, but yeah, she's pretty amazing.
I think, for the record, your doctorate might just impress her much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and congratulations.
Well, and thank you for the thoughtful questions.
The pleasure was all mine.
Bye-bye.
Speaking with CFIR Radio 88.7 FM, The Fur, that was Dr. Mary Teagee, Chief Administrating Officer of Carrier Sicani Family Services for Child and Family Services, and Takla Nation Hereditary Chief. Congratulations to her on receiving her honorary doctorate of law, and to all the graduates convocating on May 29th, 2026 at the University of Northern British Columbia's Prince George campus, and Monday, June 1st in Gitwin Silk at the Nitschke Institute, June 2nd on Terrace's Northwest campus, June 5th at the Peace River Liard campus in Fort St. John, and Thursday, June 11th at Quesnel's South Central campus. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CFIR Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.